Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of
Libations by your own brother's keeper. And we always thank you for tuning in. And as usual, we always have to thank Sister Jackie over there at MasterGriot.com for allowing us the responsibility as well as the pleasure of listening and learning with the people all at the same time. Big bro, what is the going zone?
Man, I am that I am, bro.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Always trying to overthrow white supremacy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Holding a notion, man. How your day been, big bro?
Ain't as long as the day was long, bro.
Oh, yes, indeed. That is true. That is true, man. We're going to have a couple of special guests coming in with us tonight, big bro. We got the brothers from Human Rights Radio coming back with us.
Man, love them, brothers. Love them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For all the diligent work that they continue to do and that they will continue to do, I believe. We have them on the line now. Are you there with me, brothers?
It's a language to you, brothers.
Yes, sir.
Hold on there, brothers. How you doing?
It's all thanks and praises, brother. That's all I want to say.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, indeed. And looks like we got another guy. I tell you what, well, let's just make it a big old party line then, a liberation party line. We got 901 on the phone, somebody else from Memphis. Are you there?
Hey, how you doing? This is Brother Jati just calling in, see what's going on.
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
What's going on that
black man?
Yes, sir.
How you doing,
sir? All right, we definitely thank everyone for tuning in with us this evening. Everybody on the line, please introduce yourself to the listening internet / radio crowd.
Well, I'm Inco Yuhuru, which means I say freedom, and I'm
with
Human Liberation Radio 94.3 here in Durham, you know, part of the Human Rights Radio Network. And, that's where I'm at.
Wonderful. Always good to talk to you, brother. Brother Yuhuru. Yes, sir.
And I'm down at Kentucky. I'm with Human Rights Radio 105.9 FM Springfield in Springfield, Illinois. I know there's 16 of them places, so.
Yes, sir. Always good to talk to you, brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And, man, this evening, man, really, we just really want to talk about, you know, with all the hoopla going on around Obama and everything else. Everyone else has been talking about the so-called terrorist attacks. But I don't think anyone who fights for the liberation of their people are to be labeled terrorists. And no one has given me, you know, had to be a reason why they did what they did. But far as I'm concerned, when the devil begins to cast out the devil, the land will no longer stand, far as I'm concerned. Exactly.
And also, they don't want to talk about the terror they're inflicting on us. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's never
really
part of the conversation. You know, it's like everything is hunky dory over here, and you know, they got Obama president and stuff like that. You know, but ain't nobody even saying, you know, what's really happening in these communities that we living in.
Yeah.
And like the brother, you know, we had the brother on, you know, last week, and the brother was saying, you know, how out there feeding the people, and more people is needing that.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, it makes us feel so good here, man, because, you know, a couple brothers is talking about doing the same thing. So
that's
the type of models we need. We need models of people that are providing help to our people, you know, not those who ain't doing nothing.
Right. Yeah, man, I'm talking about every week the line gets longer, you know.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, it's a sad sight, you know. We're glad to be able to provide that service, you know, but I mean, yeah, they tell them how it is, bro.
Man, it's to the point now that, you know, it's the line we used to feed. It used to be around 100, 150 people, man. But, I mean, we've gotten up now to like 300, 350. And, you know, we do what we can do, you know, to the best of our ability, knowing that we don't get any governmental funding or grants or anything like that. It's just the people willing to help the people. You know what I'm saying? And we understand that we're not but one paycheck away ourselves from being out there.
That's right.
So if we were out there, we want someone to help us. And our only thing is that, you know, Memphis per capita has more churches than any other city in the country.
I don't know about that, brother.
Yeah.
I'll put my bid in on Springfield, Illinois, bro.
Per capita. I mean, based on the number of people per
capita. You mentioned what you want to use. I'm born in Memphis. I love Memphis. But I've been in Springfield since I left Memphis in 1951. And I'm going to tell you, they got more churches in Springfield than they got churches in all of China. You hear me? They ain't even got room for houses no more in the black community for all the churches.
But if these so-called churches would just do what it is that we do, then we could eliminate homelessness and hungriness in our communities and our neighborhoods. But it ain't happening.
But you know, the hard thing for us as African people, human spirits, to comprehend is that there's a possibility that, you know, those churches wasn't ever set up to help us in the first place.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the relationship of what control of all people, not God, but the IRS has over the church, and what's said at the church, what can be taught at the church, then you got to get to wondering who is they really singing praise to up there in the pulpit when they talk about the Almighty, the IRS?
Yeah. And what's the trip is it's the same relationship that was dealt with on the plantations.
Yeah.
You know, it was a Negro preacher, you know, when the slaves began to get a little bit out of hand. Okay, now come here, Reverend Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get these Negroes back in line.
Exactly.
You know, before we whip them.
Well, you know, brothers, when you start talking about looking at how they really operate, you know, if you ever work with a group of black folks, I mean, even those of us that want to a lot don't often have anything to give but our time and our skills that the Creator has blessed us with. And sometimes that can help in a lot of ways, you know what I'm saying? But yet, if you try to get funds raised to do something, you know, unlike, you know, a major thing like building or something like that, you know, like, you know, you're not going to always get a lot of financial support, you know, that you're going to need to build. And you look at the cost that's going into the building of some of these churches. Well, I would have to bet that if every Sunday they pass the plate, they get gas money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Folks somewhere else is financing, allowing that kind of finance to take place.
Oh yeah.
It's way beyond. You know, I haven't been a volunteer since 1984 in the community where I live in Springfield, Illinois. I had an opportunity to bear witness to how much, you know, having being threatened with arrest for cleaning up, having a cleanup day that the housing authority said that was unauthorized, and you know what I'm saying? And told if I didn't tell the people to stop cleaning up, they were going to arrest me because I didn't have a permit to clean up.
A permit to clean up.
you know.
That's right, brother.
I mean, things that you would never, you know, average person can't comprehend. When Brother Inko began by talking about the terrorism that's being waged on our people every day, our people don't know the obstacles they face if they really make a conscious effort to put forth programs that are going to benefit the community and not benefit the enemies of the community.
And also that they won't even, you know, they don't talk about the truth about, you know, the so-called middle class and what type of money everybody's got. You know, when all the statistics that's out, and I have to tell the people, I didn't know nothing about, you know, economic stuff or anything until I got into this work. But you can just go on the Internet and just look up any wealth statistics, and they'll tell you that the average person in this country couldn't survive in their lifestyle for no longer than from, like, 2 months to a year.
Well, brother, break it down even further when it comes down to, like, wealth. If you take for every dollar that these crackers got in America in terms of wealth, when wealth is determined by taking all you own, selling it, paying all your bills, and what you got left is wealth. You know, when we do that, we don't got nothing left. A lot of black folks got less than 0% wealth. But
that's right.
When it comes down to it, as a people, for every dollar that these crackers got, we got 7 cents of wealth.
Yeah.
Now, that somehow, in my mind, I just don't see that being the natural law of progression. You dig what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's got to be some kind of concentrated effort to see to it that kind of circumstances is maintained, which has got to constantly inflict straight up terrorism on the people to get them to accept those conditions.
Yeah, exactly.
And even when we go to work, it's 56 cents on the dollar to the cracker.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and like you said, it's got to be some type of a concentrated effort to make sure that type of thing keeps happening. And I remember hearing a song by the OJs. Brother Power brought it up the other night off of their survival CD called The Rich Get Richer.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother said there's 16 families who rule the whole world. I'm talking about the Rockefellers. Yeah, I mean, these cats broke it down to the song, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's why I'm bamboozled as to why the people are being so excited over the election of Brother Obama, you know. And I'm glad for the brother and everything, but I mean, if anybody has any type of common sense, we know that the president has not too much to say about nothing, you know, about the decisions that are made. And I actually hope our condition does change. You know, I hope Mumia gets out, you know. You know, I hope that there's a real redistribution of the wealth. We know the richest nation and the world was built for free, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, these are things that we're going to have to do for ourselves. And one thing we're going to have to do is learn to begin in the home. We got to stop telling our kids to go to school to get a good education so they can get a good job. Basically, that translates into find what kind of service you can render for white folk.
That's true. That's true, bro. And you got to let them know their heritage. You know,
yeah.
you got to let them know that they're due restitution and restoration, you know, repatriation. You got to let them know that's an option for them. You know, so they have many more options than just America. You know, there's a whole big world out there.
Exactly.
You know, and our heritage, I mean, it's just so deep. But you find out more and more every day. You know, our people was already populating, you know, this country, this continent. You know, the Mende language is still being spoken in some South American cities today, to this day. You know, so, you know, that's why, like you say, you know, send them to their schools. Only thing they're going to tell them is that they were slaves. You know, they ain't going to tell them, you know, who they are. You know, they ain't going to tell them that they need to know, need to learn Swahili at an early age.
You know, I could say, no, it goes even further. To add to what Brother Inko's talking about, you know, I witnessed this. Went to a white Christian grade school on a grandparents' day thing, you know, and walked into the classroom where there was like 25 kids, four little black girls, you know, one being my granddaughter, and the teacher was telling all the grandparents how they were getting ready to have a section on their ancestors and how all their ancestors immigrated to this country, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, look what they're doing to these kids' minds. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They wasn't talking to those four little black girls in that dang gone wrong.
That's right.
That's right.
They couldn't have, because their ancestors did not immigrate to this land. Either they were already here when the hunky got here, or they were stolen and brung here.
Mm-hmm.
So when if I would not like to think of myself as an immigrant if I was of this place, and I wouldn't like to think of myself as an immigrant if I was stolen and brung to this place.
That's right.
And but look at the psychological pressure they put on them children to submit to that frame of mind at an early age. You're out
there. Brings
the principal white, the priest is white, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That brings me back to a poem that me and my brother used to do way back in the day, I like to say.
Yeah.
The poem was called Bagged Up in a Corner. And the hook on the song was, "Bagged up in a corner, why do you torture me? Bagged up in a corner, afraid to be free. Although I love you, I only have one life to live. And to you the life I cannot give, 'cause I'm backed up in a corner." And that's exactly what you just said. You just talked about, brother. We backed up in a corner. And what are we going to do to get out of this thing?
Well, that's why we be doing the human rights radio thing, you know. Aren't
they? That's right.
Just everybody should just, you can get access to an FM transmitter. And you can, you know, our people being sold these overpriced radios and cheap radios, but they can pick up things. And we could get on that FM and like we've been doing in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, now going in our 22nd year, and Brother Inkle's getting ready to get into his 11th year over there, and another brother with the network getting ready to get into his 9th year, and
great
just take
a
spot on the air and start help make available to the people the knowledge that there are other ways that things are thought about.
While we still have the opportunity to do so.
Man, if you don't, we will have no one to blame but ourselves.
Exactly.
We know how they hurry up and stuff the transistor radio in our Christmas basket from the good white folks when we didn't have no money to really get a basket of our own. They hurry up and gave us a transistor radio, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie since then, ain't we?
That was Rap Brown said they gave us white supremacy and we lapped it up like dogs.
Ain't that a mess? I was talking to a sister today, and the sister was saying that one thing that we need to focus on making sure that we develop even more our network of brothers and sisters who are doing this kind of work all over the country. So when we ain't got nobody else to fall back on, we can fall back on each other. Because that's something that is much needed, you know what I'm saying, in order to break this backed up in a corner curse, you know what I'm saying? Just like I love when we have, you know, the brothers from the Human Rights Network and brothers and sisters all across the country on different radio stations. We going on their station, they coming on our station. That's what brings the unity that is needed to keep us focused in one direction and one direction alone, bro.
That's right. Oh, man, we got another call on the 918. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
All right. Good, man. Thanks for calling in. Introduce yourself to the listening crowd, if you will, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Brother Ivan Muhammad. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
All right. Thank you for calling in, sir. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, we're talking about trying to see how we're going to get out this hole that's been dug, man. You know, so, man, I mean, it's something serious, man. The brother just brought up the point of how it's given to us when we're young. No, I'm talking about as soon as you go to school, they teach you the Pledge of Allegiance and the Star-Spangled Banner and all that. Every sporting event you go to and all that. And most of us, 45, 50 years old, you ask a brother or sister who is Nat Turner, and can't nobody tell you. You know what I'm saying? But you ask a little.
Well, I'm 41, and I can tell you.
Right. We're certainly glad for that, brother. Certainly glad.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, you know, that I was listening to, unity, you know, Your Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we've tried everything but unity. It would be like an atomic bomb. Black people, we've tried everything but unity, man.
Yeah.
And that's
unity,
unfortunate.
Unity with everything but each other.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Unify with everybody else.
that we want to do everything, you know, and then you know, this riff between black men and black women is the major cause of it, brother.
Ooh, man. Brother, you spoke on something right there, man.
You know, I'm putting out a book. I wrote a book here, and I'm gonna put it out in this. Well, hopefully, I'm trying to get it published by January, my birthday. But it's called Quiet Storm of the Soul of a Black Man, and I interviewed 322 black men over a 4-year period, brother. And I'm telling you, brothers, you know what I'm saying? I thought that my life was hard. Some of these brothers that I talked to make my life like a cakewalk, brother.
Like Marvin Gaye said, make you want to holler through both your hands.
Mm-hmm. Man, but the thing about it is, it's this rift that we got between black men and black women, brother, is the major, major problem, brother. Everything that we talk about, brother, it ain't going to work if the black men and black women don't get their heads together and get back together.
It's a historical thing because what there needs to be meaningful dialogue on the subject, but in most situations, the black man is not in a position to have any kind of dialogue because with a phone call, he can be locked up. The prisons is full of brothers that wanted to discuss the problems between black men and black women. They're full of brothers at the cemetery. And because the truth of the matter is, still in America, the black man is by just looking, he's a sperm donor, and that's all he is. He has no say-so.
Well, you know what? I was talking to these sisters. I know if you have you ever heard of that sister Pearl Jr. who wrote that book, Black Woman Need Love Too.
And
see, I spoke with her the other day, brother. On the she was on one of the other shows. I don't know if you heard of Alexis Taylor.
Yes,
she has a show. As a matter of fact, you all can go to Alexis Taylor's and find out and listen to the show that I did with her last night talking about my book.
Mm.
But I was talking to Pearl Jr., man. And Pearl Jr., she makes some good points, but she makes these statements like, well, I don't want to hear nothing from the brothers. You know, don't say nothing to women. The women are already doing everything they're supposed to do. So I asked the sister, I said, well, how do you expect us to make progress if all we can hear is just one side? Y'all say what y'all want to say, but we don't say nothing.
Right.
That ain't going to work.
Can't say nothing because of the way the power dynamic.
But it ain't going to work like that. That ain't going to work, though.
It's not good for us, but it's good for those who dominate us. If you look at the structure, it's the white man on top, the black woman, the white woman, the black man. That's the way it's broke down.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, it's two people that the black man wage war against when he stands up and claims himself again. It's the white man and the black woman, unfortunately, in her present state of mind.
Exactly.
And the thing about it is, we know that a common enemy has crept in between us and disturbed our peace, and we blaming each other, and it really ain't either one of our faults.
No, you're right.
But
in talking to a lot of sisters, because we do ourselves talk to a lot of sisters, especially on a daily basis, about some of these problems that we're having. And sometimes the sisters said that they feel as if they're not going to get the truth from us, or they don't feel like they should help us, or they feel as if they just need to deal with their problems and let us fix our problems. But in that construct, you're only going to be chasing your tail, and the wheel is only going to be running the wrong way. You understand what I'm saying?
The bottom line is they know we don't run nothing. That's the bottom line. They know we don't run nothing. That's what they know. And the bottom line.
But the thing about it is there is issues. Now, I'll say this. There's issues that men should get with men and take care of, and that women should get among women and take care of, and then come together. Because, you know, there's a natural distraction. And in this learning process, because the male and female has a natural attraction to one another, there's certain things that we need to learn separately because of the distraction that we naturally have with one another, and then come back together after we get enough of what it is we need to learn about being a man, and she gets enough of what she needs to learn about being a woman, then you come together.
Exactly.
And
not use other folks' definitions of what's a man and what's a woman.
Exactly.
Right.
And the roles need to be redefined. Right, they need to be defined. The roles need to be defined because
Willie Lynch constructed this thing. Y'all know who Willie Lynch is and how he put it down on the woman, man. See, when you destroy the woman, man, you can go anywhere in the world. And whatever condition the woman is in, if the community is run down, look at the condition of the woman.
Exactly.
She's run down.
Look at the
See, because society is not, it's not decided by the standard of the man. It's decided by the standard of the woman.
The woman. Exactly. Exactly.
But
my sisters, a lot of my sisters don't seem to think that they got anything wrong with them, though.
Right?
Watch this.
Here's the problem, though. Because 75% of the homes in the black community, unfortunately, are ran by women. And here's what the problem is. Because they've been doing it so long by themselves, they figure that the way they're doing is the only way. When somebody challenges them, rather than
exactly.
them say, okay, I'm wrong, they think if they admit that they're wrong, they're admitting they're a bad person. Rather
exactly.
than they're just an error. So the attitude is, I've been doing it this long, this way for so long, how can I be wrong no matter what you say?
Right.
And they be dead wrong, but can't see it.
Well, hey, case in point, when you said that, brother.
Having been married for 20 years and with the same woman for like 31 years and understanding all the pressures that the influences that are out there, they say the average child is exposed to like 5,000 ads a day in this country.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you say as a parent, you'll never give 5,000 messages out to your child every day. So you're going to lose just on the sheer number of messages unless there's some community effort put forth. And what has to be understood is that we ain't no different than no other aspect of nature. We all got our
Correct.
Special roles, our specific roles. And
exactly.
if we would accept the definitions that have been left for us long before this experience with these monsters calling themselves Americans, then we would have a better chance at solving the problems that we're dealing with. But our problems are unique to any people on the earth. No matter where you go on the earth, you'll find people that are more impoverished, as bad off as we are, than folks in our country, but no people in the earth has family dysfunction like African captives do in this country, and it's just a part of the business of running a slaveocracy like America still runs today. When they said
they've been made to believe, the women unfortunately have been made to believe that they don't need us,
and the only women in the world that would say that, and because they know in fact. No matter where you go and what job you get, they know there's a white man that you get your check from.
That's
just a straight power thing, and that's maintained because even the lynchings and the castrations of our brothers was designed to make it clear to our women and our children that don't you worry about calling that black man for nothing because I run this. You understand?
Right.
Right.
If you don't like him, call me. I'll get rid of him for you.
And
that's what they do.
I was watching that series on the Klan today, the head on the History Channel. And the brother's so right. If you look at it, right before the so-called Civil War, they had unleashed the Klan on us. A lot of people don't know that the Klan was active before the Civil War. You know,
absolutely.
Who was they chasing down and scaring back then? Wasn't all of us docile slaves on the plantation saying yes, I'm alpha? You know, who was they chasing? You know, so
mm-hmm.
we know that. There's been times in history when they would have to send out a death squad, you know, to break us back down. And they've done it so many times. And, you know, like we talk about Tulsa, Rosewood, you know, Wilmington, North Carolina, and all the other places named that we don't know, you know, where
yes,
our people went and built something. I mean, built something that they had to have, you know, and
yes,
they took it by force.
And I'd like to add a book by Orlando Patterson. Is Rituals of Blood, and it, because it connects the use of the Klan as a ritualistic remind the black woman and the black child that look what we can do to your man. Don't you ever look at nobody else as a man but us. Remind them and also, you know, pay homage to their God who has to be of evil if he blessed what they done to establish
that's
what
right.
they got here right now.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly how they operate. That is exactly how they operate. You know, this it's funny that you bring that up. There was I was watching this me and one of my children. I think it was the A&E channel. They have this show called Criminal Minds, and it was this demon cracker white boy called himself a white supremacist. Took it on himself to really what he was doing. He said he was aiming at interracial couples. If he saw a black man and a white woman, he would shoot both of them. If he saw
mm-hmm.
a white man and a black woman, he would shoot the white man. but he never shot a black woman. And when he finally got caught, the investigators asked him, you know, when you saw the interracial couples and you never shot the black woman, you know, why did you spare the life of the black woman? He said, because that queen ain't did nothing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a you know, a cracker who called himself a white supremacist.
Yeah.
See, they love our women, man. They love our women. They talk. They hate the man. They love black women, though.
Yeah. I mean,
if you they love anything that's making money.
But if you look
and
at
I
it from
understand
a
why they love black women, because you can find this thing going.
Man, I can't.
Well, what if you looked at it from a historical aspect? Looking at it from a historical aspect, our black women nursed them.
That's
you know,
right.
Our black women were their first sexual conquest.
Yeah.
Our
yes,
black
sir.
Women was the one that they snuck down to the houses and made the man stand outside while they raped. So they got an innate love for our women that they'll never really, you know, say anything about, but it's there.
Yeah.
But what we have to understand.
They have an instinctual appetite for our women.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what we have to understand that our sisters, like the brother was saying earlier, when he said that whenever a sister is encountered with a brother that's trying to correct some of that bad behavior, then the sister takes it internal as if to say, I'm a bad parent. So,
you know,
case in point,
brother,
I was
go a little deeper because maybe if she wants to, like, identify with it. She's not going to get no love from nobody else that ain't trying to feel no stuff. Girl, you let that man tell you what to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that in my house, man. You know what I'm saying? And then even, you know, brothers, just look at it. You don't determine what's on the dang on dinner table. You don't determine what's ate. You don't, the menu is, my granddaughter told me one time, I thought I was being slick. I said, okay, baby, I'm going to take y'all out. Y'all can buy anything y'all want. She said, Grandpa, everything ain't in this store. See, it's only what they make available to us, and we have to start determining when we get up, when we go to bed, what we do while we're up, what we do when we eat, you know. But that's not determined by no black man, and that's and the bottom line is no black man really likes to be in a situation where he's like secondary to some other cat running shit by remote control or something.
Yeah.
You make him want to sing that Luther Vandross song, If I Didn't Know Better.
Yeah.
Well, see, we were talking yesterday, and the sisters was asking me, you know, a sister was asking me, why do I think that black men go to white women? Now, me myself, I love black women. I'm getting ready to marry a beautiful black woman, and ain't nothing a white woman can do for
congratulations.
Me.
Congratulations.
You know what I'm saying? And yes, sir. And see, the thing about it is I was telling her, I said, now a lot of black men go to white women, not because she's white. I said, there's a natural innate nature in him for something to yield to his nature. And what he does is he gravitates toward what yields to his nature a lot easier. Now, unfortunately, I said, feminism has been stolen from the black woman. I said, you all have been put into a position, and you begin to act like a man. And don't know real man. I said, one thing about it, a real man ain't going to come home to another man. See, me, I'm a hard man physically and mentally, and I'm not coming home to myself. You see what I'm saying? If I can't be the man of the house, I will run you up out of there. It's really that simple.
Well,
even when I got on short pants, I got to be the man of the house. You see what I'm saying?
There's no problem with the female-dominated household. There's a problem with the male because what has people been socialized to believe that it ain't supposed to happen, okay? And if you try to do it, haven't done it myself or attempted to do it, I can tell you there are pressures you would not believe in. And I could say congratulations with the other brother to the brother getting married, but I'll say welcome to the Catch More Hell Club.
Yes, sir.
Manhood, you know.
I'd rather have that kind of hell. I'd rather be in hell with one than to be without one, though.
No,
exactly.
I mean,
I hear
from
you.
The sister, I mean from the system. They have a different hate for a brother. They don't like a brother anyway, but if a brother want to be a husband or a father or something like that, then they got another level of hell that you catch. That is unimaginable unless you go through it. You can't believe the things that you will encounter
right.
Trying to be a husband or a father in this country as a black man.
Yes,
you know,
I don't know yet, but I'm getting ready to find out.
Crash
course time, bro. Okay, crash course.
Call us back. Call us back so you can get some guidance through this thing, bro.
Oh, no.
That's what you do.
I got
you call us back.
I got a lot of... I'm fortunate. I got a lot of older brothers around me that's been married 40 and 50. We have elders in our community. I'm in the nation, and so we got elder brothers and sisters that have been married 40 and 50 years
and
that I can get, you know, the brothers. They schooling me now.
That'll
exactly,
surely
bro.
That'll surely help because to try to do it in a vacuum, you know, in the midst of everybody that don't think it's like the manly thing to do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just subjects your situation to a lot more pressures that really make it more difficult. And it's more difficult anyway. It's going to be difficult anyway considering everybody else is going to, we're going to leave things as they are and go along with the program thing as opposed to let's reestablish some way of understanding how we as a people should try to organize our minds so that when it's time to provide for ourselves, like all self-sustaining, self-determining people do, you know what I'm saying, that we'll be capable of doing that. But we're relying still on these same folks who've purposely miseducated us. It's not no accident.
Right.
We don't know that these crackers just came out the Dark Ages 500 years ago by their own writings. I mean, the Dark Ages where they're so damn stupid they didn't know they were dying from not taking a bath. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
we
don't know this kind of stuff, but we don't know it because it ain't their job to teach us that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right,
We think they done went to the moon. They can't even find
it. I was talking to my apolitical cousin the other day, and he said, man, he said, I just don't understand why black folk relationships are so hard, man. He said, well, these crackers, they done did us so bad that we come home and do each other bad, you know, and this is from an apolitical cat, you know what I'm saying? And, but, I mean, he's absolutely right, though, you know what I'm saying? Brothers, for one, anytime we get in the car, we taking penitentiary chances.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? For one, and then, like you said, that black woman has been so forced to do it by herself for so long. When that brother comes into the home and tries to equalize the situation, it becomes a power struggle.
Exactly. She don't know how to turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, she don't want to be treated like them. The white man treat his white woman, and she thinking that's the trip you coming from, because that's all she know.
Yeah.
Because that's all she's seen is that thing coming from the John Wayne movies, the Dango, you know, all them. They had these other issues. You dig what I'm saying? So, and then she's seen how when it all break down, you still got black folks. Have 7 cents for every dollar in wealth than white folks got.
Yeah.
We ain't done a whole bunch. We've generated their dollar, but we only got 7 cents. It don't take long to figure out somebody else running shit.
Yeah, for real. And women are automatically drawing the power. What we're going to have to do is stop. So we're really going to have to, you know, be reintroduced to our African selves and stop thinking with this crack of mind. Because
exactly.
We're thinking in this European mindset. You know, the brother's going to continue to do what we do, and the sister's going to continue to allow us to do what we do. I mean, vice versa, because you got some foul brothers, you got some foul sisters.
Hey, brother, we foul, brother. We foul, for real.
We sick, bro. We sick. We are sick, brother.
Man, we
My thing is this. Is I hate playing the blame game. I tell sisters all the time, you know, stop blaming the brothers for everything.
Get
yourself, because...
Yeah.
Yo, we gotta look at those
6 months, and you gonna knock on the door. Could be like, yo, man.
Yeah, we got another call on tonight. Oh, well, looks like they may have hung up. Yeah, I mean, the brother's absolutely right, though. We do play the blame game, you know, and I use this for example.
Too much.
Yeah, too much, you know what I'm saying? It's like no one wants to take responsibility. I mean, this is grown folk now, and all while the grown folk is cutting up, you got children who are growing up in a broken household, and the father split up, and it's still a broken household because it's a one-parent household at that time, and most of the time it's the father who turns into a weekend parent, if that.
If he's allowed to do that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know what I do, though? See, I tell brothers, I counsel young boys right now. I got an organization called Men in the Hood, where we actually going to the schools, and we sit in the classrooms with the students so the teachers can teach at some of these real rowdy schools, and we pull some of these young boys up. And the reason why we call it Men in the Hood, because when I was growing up, and I know when you gentlemen were growing up, the men ran the hood. Well, the reason why there's so many boys in the hood now, because ain't no men in the hood.
That's right.
So that's what the name is established from.
Well, that's when you want to conquer. You want to conquer.
I'm just saying, Brother Shaka always says, when men stand up, boys sit down. So you sure
that's right.
It's all with the men.
That's automatic.
You want to consolidate your conquest of a people. Well, that's what they did. In the 1960s, as our people rose for our human rights, our right to human dignity, these crackers, we was like 24% of our homes were without both parents in them. And today,
that's right.
We've got but 24% of our homes that's got both, because it's a simple thing. Can't no man enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods until he first finds and binds the strong man.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, I didn't write
that. Right.
Yeah.
I commend you on that
organization you have, because until we take our neighborhood back, and you know what I'm saying, we can really speak from experience on that, you know what I'm saying, the Hyde Park in Hollywood and North Memphis.
I mean, things got really out of control until,
you know what I'm saying, until we begin to organize and handle the business like it needs to be handled. I mean, it's very rare that you see either one of those neighborhoods on the news now.
That's what integration was all about, see?
Yeah.
That's right.
We had all those schools right around the corner from us. We could control those. When those teachers came to school, they came in the midst of our neighborhood.
That's right.
Taking our kids and bussing them all over here. We couldn't control nothing no more, you see?
Yeah.
And then now we're suffering the consequences of all the good things that they've done for us.
Yeah.
And you know why they made integration? You know why they decided on doing that? So for some child in sports. You know, when the first white team started playing black teams or anything, what happened?
They got
toe
out before him.
and so they knew down the pike, sooner or later, they was going to have to do that. So they had to do it on their terms. And they've always been doing a little bit with folks working for the government. You know, everybody knew one or two people coming up that worked for the government. And as soon as they got them jobs, what they do? They move out the neighborhood.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that's a big problem. A lot of us are tied to them through what? Through the agreement we made for that check.
Well,
you
know? Yeah. If you ever did the parent thing in this country, what you know is this. You raise a crop. Your children are a crop, okay? You are a crop. Crackers got their mind set on things they want you to do, and what you're talking about don't mean nothing. I give you a small example. Recently, I went to apply to pick up, you know, I'm going to open up a school for African children here in this town someday. I think I might need some paperwork that I don't want to have to depend on somebody else to have. So I'm going to go take a couple classes at the university that I've been around for 20 years, you know. No big deal. Crackers told me I was too damn dumb to come. But they would pay me to tutor the kids that do come. They got things for you to do. And what you're trying to do don't matter. And if you don't want to do what they have harvested you, cultivated you to do, that they don't got time for you. They got a whole bunch of
stuff
already on the assembly
brother.
Line, ready to be done and ready to go to work, you know?
That's right. 904, are you there?
Hello?
904,
yes,
are you there?
How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know, why do we always have to compare ourselves to white people?
Go ahead, bro.
It ain't as comparing them to them. What we're doing is stating what they are and who they are. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of our people don't know who they are or what they represent to us each and every day in our lives. You know, these are the folks who came to our homelands and, you know, raped and pillaged and murdered our people, you know, all around the world. You will find that, you know, our people was all around the world. We was traveling and trading with everybody peacefully, you know. And then these criminals, you know, these murderers came along and decided, you know, what did the Pope say? You know, go make Christians out of them heathens.
Mm-hmm.
And so with one decree, you know, he put everybody in the bunch.
Well,
and that's what we talk about.
If you knew, the slave trade was actually a business with not only black people but amongst other races. That's what it really was, a business. And they did not come and steal anything.
I wasn't a business, bro. You know, I mean, you know, can I come to your hometown and kidnap y'all and have y'all work for me? You know,
but why do you think why? Okay. The elite African tribes actually owned slave, well, labor workers, as they called them. So when these Caucasians came, the deal was guns are them, and that's what they took. They took the guns for them. It was a business. It was all a business.
Where did you get the information from, brother? You know, so
where did you get the information from?
Where did I get it from? From school?
Yes, sir.
From my college.
Okay. Okay.
African American studies.
Oh,
well, that is incorrect.
African.
That isn't correct.
But you know what? Me and you can't tell because we weren't there. So how would you know?
But you are now speaking to historians who have been studying this thing probably more than 20 or 30 years. Some of the brothers on the phone have probably been studying this thing 40 or 50 years. So coming from historians, not just an African-American studies class, but from people who have done the research outside of class to come up with a very well assessment of what actually went on. And when you start talking about...
What actually went on? Tell me. Because I want to know, were you there 400 years ago?
I don't have to be there, brother.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have to be
That's
there because all history is passed down from person to person.
Exactly,
so,
and it could be interpreted any type of way they wanted it to. So continue.
According to whom?
According to them.
The scholars who wrote these books on the servitude thing. But see, what the crackers did was let us come borrow your workers. You know what I'm saying? Now, see, over there was no concept of jail. There was no concept of prison. So if I wronged you or wronged your family and I was found guilty of that crime, I would have to work my crime off. So maybe I took care of your cows for maybe 5 or 6 years. And what crackers did was they came over there with their guns and with their Bibles and with their money, and they said, well, look here. Let us borrow this servant that you have, and they never brought them back, brother. You cannot name me a king, queen, or a tribe who purposely sold people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're not natural devils like crackers. We got another call on the line. We got Brother Power just calling in. Brother Power, what's up with you, man?
Hey, how y'all doing, brother?
What's up, big brother?
What's going on, Brother Power?
The very fact that you call the so-called crackers all devils shows that everything that you're saying is illogical in the first place. But go ahead, I'll listen. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. We got us a lawyer. We got us an attorney on the line. Yeah, we got
for one moment,
better than anybody.
Let me get in on the conversation for 1 second. I was listening to it. It was going good for a while. And, it seemed like we kind of got circumvented to a subject that doesn't even deserve merit to speak on, really, to tell the truth, because I reside in the country with the brothers. And for the young brothers' information is that coming from the griots and the oral historians on the continent of Africa, which is Ghana in particular, I say is Accra, the myth has been dispelled about the African selling the African into slavery, first of all. The African was in trade 100 years before the Dutch even came and instigated the slave trade and the Portuguese. So what we have to understand is that the information that has been given to us that is being passed down to us in our universities and our colleges around is systematic information that is designed for us to think in this particular fashion. And we must re-inject ourselves into the continent to understand the divisiveness and the divisiveness of the youth of the collegiate structure in and of itself is started by philanthropists and so on and so forth. But to get back to the situation with the black male and the black woman, all of this that we're discussing right now is a direct derivative of all the symptoms of the Whitney Lynch syndrome. It's the symptoms of the transatlantic slave trade that we're even having this discussion that the poor brother Carl's in. And he feels like this is a type of a joke or something that, you know, when you go to college, basically you've been instructed how to think, not to come out and be a productive citizen in the world. In other words, we had to keep foremost in our thoughts and not think European at base, think pan-African and African at base first.
Well, I want to just say for myself, with the Human Rights Radio Network, and having been blessed with the opportunity to raise three African children here in this country, my thing is this. What I share with you, you can do what you want to do with it. The great creative spirit don't require that you do what you're here to do, even if you happen to become aware of what you're here to do, because if you ain't here to do nothing, you're the only thing in the creation that ain't here to do nothing. There's not a blade of grass, a molecule of water, a grain of sand that don't have a purpose for being here, and you do too. But you could find out what it is, and you could say, so what? So what you hear me say, what I might share with you, you do with it what you want to. I feel thankful that I had an opportunity to share with you what the Creator allowed me to learn. Period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
One thing the brother said that it didn't shock me, but he said just the mere fact of me calling them a devil makes a statement irrelevant in the first place. I mean, you judge the people by the acts. A devil is a person who commits devilish acts, and no one can argue the fact that crackers have been very devilish everywhere in the world. You know what I'm saying?
And
but once again, you know.
All of you making it sound like this race is a supreme race when you just single them out and say, oh, they're the devils. You don't even know how you sound when you say that. You're making it sound like they are a superior race above all others.
Well, brother, it's the mindset.
The mindset of the European is the reason we're speaking in these terms. We are not demonizing or putting any race of people on a pedestal. What's happening right here, only what you're saying is that we are not the ones, first of all, let's not be upset and heighten our emotions about this thing. Let's think about this thing scientifically. We have to look at and state for the fact of the record the atrocities, the certain social conditions and the economic conditions that have been passed down to us as a result of white supremacy. First of all, we are not talking about and encompassing all white people in what we're speaking of. You have three groups of people in the world. You have whites, you have non-whites, which consists of all other colored people in the world, and then you have a small group of white supremacists that control this exact economy around the world. Everything that you can think of that is covered, all nine areas of human interaction is controlled by white supremacy in some form or fashion. That's why we speak of it. It's not a majority of putting them on a pedestal or anything, by no means, because we know who deserves to be on the pedestal, the originators of civilization, which is us. But we're just illustrating and illuminating some of the aspects that need to be looked at.
If I was able to do to people what these monsters call themselves Americans and done to folks for the generations that they've done to them, I ought to get them to be able to act in their own worst interest. You know what I'm saying? 11 generations.
Exactly.
Breeding us. I'm not talking about raping us. I'm talking about breeding us.
Breeding.
You understand? Breeding us, raping us, trying to turn us into the monsters that they apparently are as a result of us examining the evidence that they themselves bring forth to let us know what they do. You can go down to the free public library. You don't got to go take no college class. Go down to the free public library, and they got on record what they done to humanity, what they done to the topsoil, what they done to the water and the birds and the fish in the dang-on forest and the dang-on deer and the buffalo and the people and everything they encountered. The record is clear on what they done. Defend them if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
All we're giving you is the
information. Nobody's defending them.
If you go down the road and you see a road sign and it tells you Memphis 40 miles, you can go 50 miles looking for Memphis if you want to. You don't got to pay no. That's all we is, like road signs on the side of the road. Read if you want to.
Advance at your own risk.
Yeah.
But see, now you're saying that they've invented this and that, everything they come in contact with. So what are you saying, that blacks, Chinese, and Spanish can't invent things just as much?
What we're saying is that we have invented most of these items, and most of these items have been stolen because we were not able to patent them. But if you would do some research, a little bit more research, into what we're saying, you will find these things out. It's not hard. It's not hard to find these things out. They're on the Internet. They're in the libraries. They're everywhere. But what we're saying is they are not just contained inside of a college classroom, because inside of most college classrooms in this country, you are getting a Europeanized, white supremacist mindset installed inside your body so that you yourself will be a catalyst for white supremacy.
I taught a college class for 20 years with a high school diploma, so you might have been in a class worse than mine.
Yeah, especially an African American history class.
The History Channel, they had a interesting little piece about a African in America inventor, and his name was Garrett Morgan, and he had a gas mask, and it was talking about how he was going around the firefighters and everybody telling them how wonderful this gas mask was. But as soon as he took the gas mask off and they could see his face, they said, I ain't buying that from no nigga. But next thing you know, they had a cave, a mine that collapsed, and somebody said, they said go get that man that bent the gas mask, but you know they probably said go get that nigga who bent the gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and got him, and his brother and two other people who had family members went down in that mine and they brung two people out.
When the cracker made, when the cracker said he owned you, he said, okay, you made something, the cracker made it. That's who got credit
right.
for it. The cracker, Thomas Jefferson, they talking about how he expanded at Monticello. He didn't build a damn thing, lazy cracker, or lazy.
Not a thing.
Before the Barack Obama, actually, I said, Bakufu in her book, Six Black Presidents, said Thomas Jefferson was like one of the six presidents before Barack Obama with black heritage
mm-hmm.
to get into the White House. And now, I would
exactly.
say with the white folks' definition of what's a nigger, anybody with one drop of blood, the question surely be, should truly be, has there ever been a real cracker in the White House?
Yeah,
really. Oh, man, I never heard that one. That was just, I'm
yeah,
out to remember that one.
Though, you know what I'm saying? And for real.
Right.
And like the brother said earlier, you know, white men have an innate appetite. Can't say love, but they have an appetite for black women. And, you know, I really can't fault them for that. I mean, because really, who wants a cave bitch?
Right. Now, I want to tell the brother that called in, the young brothers in college, brother, check out a book called Stolen Legacy. I think it's, what's, help me out, y'all, with the author's name.
And it's all based off
George
Stolen,
G.M. James.
It's all based
we
off
have,
someone,
yeah,
it's all based off someone's philosophy, but I'll check it out, though.
And, yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good. Matter of fact, it's that book speaks directly to Stolen Philosophy. And if you can go online, I'm going to give you a good resource right here. Online is a place called, it's a magazine called New African Magazine. Go into the back issues, and you can read one about Africa's history. It would point you to all of the Greek philosophers from Plato, Socrates, on down, that studied at the feet of Egyptian physicians and the whole nine yards, and how when they went back to Greece, how they were banned and put in caves and died in those caves because the information that they came back to Greece with was deemed too radical from Africa. So check those out, and go back and drop those on your African history teacher when you go back to your class, and I guarantee you, you will have a different response. Most of the stuff, information you can bring back to him, he will not understand.
Yeah,
every people have a definition as to how things went. And what has happened is the Europeans, in particular these that we are dealing with, these hybrid Europeans, these American types,
right.
they've defined things in a totally different way than everybody else. You know, if you and me had a fight on the schoolyard, when we both left that schoolyard, we would both have a definition as to what went on, who won. I might have dusted you off. You might have dusted me off, but we both might have walked away and lied and said that I dusted you off and you dusted me off. You know what I'm saying? We
mm-hmm.
might have, but we both would
mm-hmm.
have. Why is it that in the European history of African people that the only damn story that matters is his story?
Mm. Right.
It makes no sense to me. When the Irish had a St. Patrick's Day parade, they could care less what the Italians think about it. They could care less
exactly.
what the French
exactly.
think about it. And they all white people. They all white people. But they... because they got some identity as to who they are. But when African people, just talking in the generic about us as a stolen people, you know, on the continent they speak 2,000 languages a day. Today they speak 2,000 languages. We're so diverse it ain't nobody's business. But just then talking
right.
in the generic of us as African people, as diverse as we are, getting together and trying to resolve our issues, somehow somebody got to say, well, I don't think all white people is bad. Well, I don't give a damn if you do or don't. It's not my concern about that. What concerns
right.
me is, what do you think about African people getting their problem resolved, working together? And skip what I might think about white folks.
Man,
it ain't
I
damn
could, care.
I don't care
I could,
what you think about Superman,
I,
Batman,
I care less
or the
about
macho, Steve Austin,
I'm,
or nobody else. So why is
but,
it of your concern
wait.
What I think? I don't care what
I
you think about football,
about
basketball,
African
baseball. I don't care.
I'm not African.
Wait,
that's
wait,
one
wait,
thing.
Wait.
You're not
say
African?
Again. Say that again. You care less about African
no,
people?
I could care less.
Well, that's all right with me, too. That's all right with me, too. But
you're American?
Yeah, we're having an African. We were having an African people's discussion. Why are you getting the conversation? We wasn't.
No,
having
it's just to really see how ridiculous.
Just to keep us talking
are.
About something that's irrelevant. Anything that's turning.
But
you
brother,
on,
what's
whatever.
Your nationality then? If you're not African, what is your nationality?
Why does it matter? Why does it matter?
I mean, because we're having a discussion about African.
We talk about human
African
beings.
Social
if you
issues.
Want to know the truth, that's
well,
all we
black.
Talk about.
Right.
What human beings
I'm
talk
black.
About. And if it disturbs you.
I'm black.
You're black, brother.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
You say you're black, you're a brother? You're black?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brother, if you
brother,
have melanated skin, brother, you are of African descent.
Yeah.
I'm of African descent, but I'm not African. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Where were you born, brother? Where were you born? I mean, you were born in the state of the United States, right? I don't even know what particular state, right?
Yes.
Were you born in the state?
Yeah.
Okay, now,
just historically and geographically, this landmass does not produce people of our melanated origin. It just does not do that. The native was the people that is produced naturally from this landmass. This geographical landmass that we call North America does not produce people of our demographics. You agree with me on this, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, we certainly
need to study more, my brother. Please study more. While you're in college, take use of whatever grant money or whatever it is that you're doing and study more.
You just want to hear yourself.
Talking about, brother.
But some people say that.
We're talking about strictly facts. That's all we're speaking on here. What we have been taught in our studies.
Brothers, I hate to cut this off, but we only got like about a good second left. We're no longer streaming live, but it'll be recorded in the archives. So
let me thank everyone
for calling in on this evening, and we got to wrap it on up. Now, thank everyone for calling in, and very, very quickly, everybody give your closing statements. Very quickly.
All right. Look, I'm just going to say that in our studies, we've been taught that there are such things called agent provocateurs, and we should not let agent provocateurs take us off the focus that we should be on. So we have to understand that these particular calls are going to come in, and we should not let them distract us from what it is that we're doing. You do what you're supposed to do. Do what the Creator has given you the gift to do, and that's to save black lives. And those that want to be saved will be. Those that do not will not be. So that's all I got to say.
Right.
Yeah, I did on that. I appreciate you, brother, for having this show, keeping the forum for independent thought and discussion open because it's needed in these times. And I just say power is the ability to define phenomena and have it act in the desired manner. By Dr. QC News, so let's keep that thought in mind.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That was our third member, brothers. Keep it. Thank you.
I just want to say that I somewhat enjoy listening to y'all because you could always learn from other people. All things are possible. You can always learn from other people. But I just want to say to please wake up to reality for what
Joker.
It is.
Your reality. Your reality, bro.
No, reality.
Well,
as long as you're here in America now, this is reality, no matter what you want to think or say. So
I would invite all the participants.
Just keep living, brother. Keep
I would
living.
Invite all the participants.
I want to thank William O'Neill for calling in.
Invite all the participants tonight. You know, read what the French said about their conquest of this land. Read what the Spanish said about. They didn't lie to you like the British and the Americans. They said the king told us to come over and kick some ass and take some stuff, and that's what we did. And we got our money, and we cool with that. You know what I'm saying? They didn't lie, so people ain't deceived about what they were doing.
Nobody said they didn't lie, but you still failed to realize that as long as you wasn't there in those times, you cannot tell what happened or what didn't happen.
So why
anybody could take so-called facts, twist them, and distort them.
So why does your African American?
If that's the case, you're not sure what your name is. You weren't there at the time when your mother had you. If that's the case, you're not sure what your name is or who you are.
My mom is alive.